Hi, this is Graham Roberts, and you're listening to the Hotspur Podcast.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mickey Hazard, and you're listening to the Hotspurs Podcast.
I'm a shouty man, and you're listening to the Hotspurs Podcast. Okay?
Hi, I'm Wyatt Wendells from Planet Rock Radio, and this is the Hotspurs Podcast.
Hi, this is Daniel Wynn. Welcome to the Hotspurs Podcast. I'm the Spurs commentator for Spurs TV and also trustee of the Tottenham Tribute Trust.
Hi, I'm the Spurs Pod, and here's a quick message from me to you. Click on iTunes, subscribe to the Hotspurs Podcast, and then just leave a nice review. You're listening to the Hotspurs Podcast.
Yeah, welcome to the Hotspurs Podcast. It is Tuesday the 12th of March 2013. I'm Steve and we got Colin. How are you doing, Cole?
Yes, I'm doing well, Matt. I'm doing well.
Right. We are a Spurs podcast, football podcast. All we do is talk about football, Spurs and the rest of it. Let's get straight into it then. Let's start with Inter Milan then, that we haven't reviewed that game. Thoughts on that, Cole?
Yeah, look, great way to start off the show, because funny, I put a post on Facebook the other day. It's going to be quite strange for us, you know, coming in to do a podcast after, you know, a defeat. And it's been such a long time, and I know we'll get to the Liverpool game. I actually couldn't believe when I heard that our last league defeat was Everton. And I know that was pre-Christmas. I think it was back in December, you know, so it's really hard to believe that we're doing a show that way. But, you know, to get into Inter Milan, what a performance. I don't know if you were at the game, Steve, or not, but I know, look, people are saying it's not the best Inter Milan team that they've ever seen, and I agree with that. But some of the football that we played, it felt like sitting and watching Man United 2 or 3 years ago in Europe, where it was very comfortable, never felt under any pressure, and some of the football, the way we closed the ball down, give Milan no time in the ball, and our finishing, and Gareth Bale again, first goal, whenever he scored, I actually laughed. I just went, I can't believe this guy scored again. I just sort of thought, there's no way it's going to keep on happening. And there he was, fantastic header. And then some other great goals. And just some all-round brilliant football. And what a way to show the rest of the world, and, you know, European football, what way Tottenham are playing.
Well, yeah, I mean, Inter were atrocious. I mean, we were saying it all through the game. I went with my dad, and we were saying all through the game, you know, this is the worst side that we've seen for quite a while. But of course, we've seen Spurs play like that, you know, sometimes. We have an absolute stinker. You know, we'll see how good they are, I suppose, when we play them again on Thursday. You know, they might decide to turn up. I mean, I think that for as much as we weren't that interested last year, perhaps they're not that interested this year. You could criticise the way that they played. You know, you look at, but we're into being positive here, and I just thought it was brilliant. It was a fantastic match to watch. I'm just a little bit gutted we didn't get a few more goals as per usual. But Scott Parker, the way he was turning away from players and playing reverse balls and gliding away from these central midfielders and stuff with a little shoulder dip and things like that. Well, you know, that shows you, Scott Parker, that, you know, you made a rod for your back there, mate, because now we know what you can do. I mean, he was absolutely fantastic, wasn't he?
He was.
At the back, you know, Gallas, people shouting at Gallas a lot where I was sitting, you know, and chatting away about him being rubbish and stuff. I mean, I've been pleased with him this season. You know, he started off as one of our, first choice central midfielders, and he's gone down the pecking order through injury and a few mistakes and what have you. But generally, Gallas, I think, a pretty good fourth or fifth choice central defender to have coming on. You know, it's brilliant, especially, you know, in some of the dross that centre back we've had to watch over the years. Good Brad Friedel in goal, fantastic. You know, all in all, fantastic game, brilliant game to be at. And normally a first leg of a European tie, Europa Cup tie or whatever, is a drab affair, you know. And I actually expected us to lose. after the Lord Mayor show and all that of the Arsenal game. But actually, we came out and we were absolutely brilliant. Really, really enjoyed it. Again, let's just see what happens in the return leg. One thing I did notice, there was one occasion where Defoe, who looked sharp, you know, he looked sharp when he came on against Arsenal. He looked sharp against Inter, and again he looked, you know, quite sharp against Liverpool. You know, that's his nature, I think. That's the way he looks when he gets the ball, when he's running around. You know, he looks like a nippy little sharp player. But he did something, I think it was halfway through the second half, where he was running through, and he had about four players running up alongside him, and all he had to do was slip it in, and he didn't. He failed to do it, and we all sort of groaned and stuff. We still clapped him and said, "Get on with it." And I was like, "Oh God, if that was Adi Boyor, he would have got absolutely crucified," you know. And so it was quite funny. But you know, Defoe's our hero, and everybody loves him, so he can do no wrong, I guess. Any more to say about the Inter Milan game?
Oh, just really a couple of things that you said. You know, Jermaine Defoe was fantastic. He was so desperate to score a goal, it actually became nearly too obvious. And there was a couple of chances where he could have maybe just laid someone in, as you say. And I was wanting that extra goal. But I also, it was very important that we kept the clean sheet. And you mentioned him there, Brad Friedel. You know, to come in, hasn't played for a long time. He made a fantastic save. Now, the guy more than likely probably should have put it away, but he got the big left foot out and stopped. And their guy, one-on-one in the first half as well. You know, but Friedel came out, spread himself, put him off. So big shout-out to Brad Friedel. And just an all-round fantastic night, and really, really enjoyed it, Steve. And, you know, to sit and watch it on TV, and I didn't have to get up off my chair and shout at anybody and get excited like I did with Liverpool.
Moving on to the Liverpool game, what are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, look, I'll be completely honest. Before the game, I was really quite nervous, and it's been a long time since I was actually nervous about a game. Even going to Arsenal last week, I was sort of, you know, quite confident that we would possibly get the result, and usually don't really feel that way. But for some reason about going to Anfield, and I know people have chatted, it's never been our best place to go. But like, we haven't got beat there in quite a while as well. But Liverpool have been on a good run, and I just sort of thought it's going to be a tough game, European night on the Thursday. It's going to be interesting to see how we do. And you know, to be fair to Liverpool, I thought, a bit like the Arsenal game, the first 20, 25 minutes, I thought Liverpool looked very dangerous. Like, we knew Sturridge and Suarez were going to be, you know, a handful. And to be fair, they scored an absolutely class goal. Suarez finished it brilliantly. And then all of a sudden, we just started to get our foot on the ball.
Yeah, they were far better than us, weren't they, in the first 25 minutes?
They were, and I was really quite worried.
Yeah.
I don't want to slag anybody off, but I was a wee bit disappointed, surprised as well, that Jake Livermore came into the side. I don't know whether you agree, but I sort of felt, you know, look, the game is sort of bypassing him, and I still would have possibly kept Dembele there. I know Dembele was fantastic, but we lost him not being in the centre.
Who would have been the perfect replacement for...
What I would have done, personally, I would have played Dembele and Parker, and I would have brought Hopi into the side, and I'd have played Hopi on the left or the right with Sigurdsson, left or right. I think either of those boys could play.
Who would have been the perfect replacement? Who's still on our books?
For Lennon? Oh, yeah. Andreas Townsend.
Exactly, the fellow that scored a fantastic goal at QPR. I mean, we seem to do this. In the last two or three seasons, we seem to have loaned out players who are perfect to come in, you know, when someone gets injured. And we've still got players sitting on the bench who you think, well, we've got two or three of you. You know, we don't need another one of you. You know, Sandro got injured, so Parker comes in. You know, why isn't Livermore out? Because he's our other centre. You know, if Parker gets injured, we stick Holtby in the middle. Or you can stick Sigurdsson in the middle who can get stuck in. Or put one of the central defenders up into midfield. You know, we've got enough defensive midfielders. And I'm not saying Livermore's finished at Spurs. I'm just saying that if he needs games, and I think he does, he's the one that should have been loaned out. Andros Townsend is the perfect replacement for Bale or Lennon, because he's a carbon copy of their style of play. He's a winger who likes to run forward and get stuck in. You know, and it is a head scratcher why we decided to then loan him out. The only thing I can think is that Redknapp said, I really want Townsend. And we said, well, do you know what? You can have Townsend if you have Jenas, which I think might have been what I saw. And Bentley, I think they said, you can have Townsend, but you've got to take Jenas and Bentley. And they said, right, well, we don't want Bentley, but we will take Jenas if we can have Townsend. I think, honestly, that's why I decided to let him go, just to get Jenas off the books.
Surprise.
But, you know, he would have been the perfect player to come in. And, you know, and as soon as I saw it, I thought, you know, we must be the only team that I've ever known to have a player who goes out, someone comes in, and we all go, well, that's the game gone then. I mean, everybody just... whereas teams come to Spurs, and they don't have this player, that player, that player. But players come in and fill in, and they get stuck in, and they, you know, they do fantastically well and, you know, scrape a draw or whatever. Whereas I just looked at it and went, well, that's the game gone then. It's crazy. Yeah, it wasn't the case, because, funnily enough, I thought we played really, really well, much better than we did probably against Arsenal.
Yeah, like we really...
That middle 60 minutes.
Yeah, like we really came into it. And it was really after Bale, and, you know, I'm going to mention Steven Gerrard, and, you know, I've listened to radio shows and phone-ins about... Look, first of all, he should have had a yellow card about 5-10 minutes before the tackle that he'd done on Bale. And, like, Steven Gerrard's a world-class, he's been a world-class player. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he was going to let Bale know, look, you think you're the man, you know, have a bit of this. And it, for me, it could have even been nearly a red card, but to me, he should have been booked earlier, and that was definitely a yellow. Knew what he was at, but it, all of a sudden, it seemed just to give us that kick, and Bale just came back on the pitch, fantastic cross in, and there he was, you know, super Jan, you know, great header, scored against Inter Milan as well, great header, and all of a sudden, we were back into the game, and I was up off my chair, and all of a sudden I had that confidence back. Half-time came in nicely, and we came out in the second half, and we passed the ball lovely. Suarez disappeared out of the game, Sturridge disappeared out of the game, and, you know, all of a sudden for Vertonghen scored another, what a fantastic class finish from Vertonghen. 2-1 up, and I went, do you know what, we're going to do this. And only for two major mistakes, which, look, I'm not going to slate the guys off. Kyle Walker, I know he's had a bit of a tough season, but I just don't know what he was doing, Steve. It was just like a head rush. You know, the ball just, and he just hit it. He didn't even think. Hugo Lloris, that we've talked about, the pace of him, he's like that sweeper coming off his line. For some, he just seemed to pull out of it, but I wouldn't have blamed Lloris. I put all the blame on Walker for it, and, you know, what does Downing do? He sticks it through for Toggan's legs.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so it was just, and whenever it happened, I don't believe this. I really, because I couldn't see any other way of Liverpool getting back into the game. But we handed it to them on the plate, and then you always knew with someone like Suarez on the pitch, it was always going to be dangerous that they could possibly nick it. And unfortunately, it happened.
Silly challenge by Benny. Suarez, you know, he made a meal of it, but I don't blame him for that. You know, the back pass type thing from Defoe, I don't blame him for that. You know, for me, strikers, for me, it's all about scoring goals. And so if they make a challenge like that, you know, these things happen. But you can't go in like that, like Benny did. And, you know, it's like a typical Benny, typical Walker, you know, these things, you know, seem to come and bite us every so often. But actually, more often maybe last year, less often this year. So it was a surprise. And at the end of the game, you still go, well, we're due a loss. We can't win them all. You know, thank goodness it wasn't the last two games, because you know, most Spurs fans would say out of those three, the West Ham, the Arsenal and the Liverpool, you know, it's great to win, you know, the London derbies, and you'd sacrifice the Liverpool game, particularly if we can then go on a little run. We'll come on to that in just a second. But just going back there to Defoe, I mean, how do you think he played against Liverpool?
Look, in the first half, he really didn't get any service, Steve. You know, you could see him moving about up front, and I noticed him a couple of times sort of shouting over to Dembele, and I know Dembele did have a strong game, but he's got a tendency to pull back, and I do think he is stronger in the middle for us. But I thought, as usual, Defoe, he tried. You know, the one where Sigurdsson hit the post, you know, Defoe was actually completely free if Sigurdsson had just squared it to him. But, you know, he's very unfortunate not to score.
And against Inter as well, there was a moment where Holtby, who looks as if he desperately wants his first goal, should have really slipped him in. Mm-hmm.
I thought he had a good game. Look, it's something I thought about. We won't go into Adebayor really much tonight, but look, he's been slated and he's been hounded, but we haven't lost with Adebayor in the team.
Yeah,
I don't think he'd have made any difference, to be honest with you.
Do you think Defoe is good with Adebayor up with him, because you've got the tall man, the short man, Adebayor, as we say, does pull defenders away, leaving space for Defoe. I mean, could Defoe play that man up front? I mean, the only way that, just before you answer that, the only thing I think is if you were 2 6-foot-plus central defenders. And you look at the team sheet, you're going to have to handle Adebayor, or you're going to have to handle Defoe. I think if you're 2 6-foot-plus central defenders, you look at each other and you sort of, smile at each other if it's Defoe. You know, you might say, oh, you know, he's short and nippy, but at least you won't have elbows in your face and, you know.
Yeah, I know, it's true. It's a difficult call, you know. It's just the way Adebayor has been lately. I just don't think he would have made any difference at all to us.
You're probably right, but I'm just thinking psychologically.
Yeah. I think, in the end of the day, it came down to Liverpool, and I was so angry at the end of the game. I would have preferred to have got beat 3-1 or 2-1 if we were going to lose the game. It was just the manner of what had happened. And then I sort of came around, you know, half an hour after, and I thought about, look, if someone had said, like, you can go and beat West Ham and beat Arsenal, but you have to lose to Liverpool, I'd have bit your arm off for it. And as you say, Steve, it was going to come to an end, but the big test now is how we're going to react. And I, for one, and I put the post on the Facebook, I'm more than confident. To me, there's a completely different feel about us. For us to go to Anfield, you know, without the likes of, if you meant Adebayor, Kabul,
Sandro,
Aaron Lennon, and dominate Liverpool, who are in the top six, playing some good football at the minute. They absolutely dominate them on their own pitch. You know, that just doesn't happen to us. It shows how far we've come. And, you know, if we can go on another good run here, a couple of big games, I'm more than confident there's a different mentality side this year, and I've got no worries about being in the top four. No worries at all on it.
And in that second half, when we'd scored the goal and we were just bombing forward, I mean, we had some brilliant chances. And like I've always said, you've got to take your chances. If you're at Anfield, you know, against Liverpool, you've got to take your three or four chances. When you see teams that beat Liverpool, they never outplay them. You know, you watch Match of the Day and you see them, you know, against a West Brom or a Swansea or whoever. You see Liverpool bomb on, pilot, you know, chance after chance after chance, and then you see the little time up in the top corner, 80 minutes, you know, and you see him bombing on, and all of a sudden there's a break, and you think, ah, this is the goal, coming up here, you know, they do, and it's that one chance that like West Brom have or Swansea have. You know, we had about 10 great chances, you've got to take them, you've got to stick them away, and you know. We can't possibly sound like a broken record anymore, but you just need that striker who is going to do that. Defoe, to be fair, is coming back. And Adebayor needs to find form or he can bugger off, quite frankly. You know, it's up to him.
That's it. And approved. I've mentioned this loads of times on the show, and I think you've agreed with me. Luis Suarez, I know a lot of people don't like what he stands for, whatever, but you put that guy in the R team. And you even bring in, and say, another world-class midfielder like Montinho and Suarez. We are then, in my eyes, challenging for the
next year. Who would you have, Suarez or Rooney?
I'd take Suarez.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
I'd take Rooney every day and twice on Sunday.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, I think for our style of play, that sort of guy...
Oh, you don't think Rooney would fit into our style of play?
Yeah, no, he would. He would. I'd maybe have him. But if I had a choice now of taking Suarez or Rooney, and we'll fire out on the show, put your answers on Facebook there, I would have Suarez all day long over Wayne Rooney. I just think that guy in the box, look at his finish, Steve.
Yeah, but I couldn't cheer Suarez. Not that I like anything that Rooney stands for as well.
Here, see Suarez. You imagine the chances that Suarez would get in our side compared to what he's getting at Liverpool.
Yeah,
he would love it. And I thought about it yesterday. Whenever I was thought about his goal, and I went, could you imagine him in the white kit of Tottenham and scoring a goal, at the Paxton end there, and Suarez, kissing his wrist as he does and cheering up. We'd end up here, after a couple of games, you'd all be going crazy for him.
Yeah, but he gets involved too much in Odemwingie. I'm not interested in any of that.
I know he does, but here, a Suarez and a top-class midfielder, and we would be challenging Man United.
And by the way, Suarez wouldn't come to Spurs at the moment.
I don't know.
Not at the moment. Unless they start faltering and finish eighth or ninth or something, and we put a massive offer, but we'll see.
I think if they don't get, there's no way I can see them getting top four, and we go and stick in a £30 million bid, Suarez will want to go to Champions League football. Why wouldn't he want to come to Spurs?
£30 million plus Livermore.
£30 million plus Livermore and David Bentley.
We'll see. Let's have a poem from Davey.
Okay.
A defeat has come upon us, but do we need to fret? We believe in AVB and a top four finish we'll get. Yes, poor mistakes they cost us, but the taste left is rather bitter. Did we really need to abuse players who are on Twitter? We have got to play every game as an important cup final win. We have to believe in what we do so the celebrations in May can begin. And in a game of really fine margins, we could have won 3-1, but two mistakes and an Anfield defeat left Super Jan's exploits feeling numb. This is a really important season, as I fear players will leave. An important time for the management, as the objectives they must achieve. And as many fans get nervous, we can achieve the Champions League goal. And if we don't need to support, then we need to have passion in our soul. Tottenham, how I love thee. And please dig deep and you will strive. No collapses like previous eras. No excuses for the Gunners to thrive. Let's back the team, not run them down. They're only human after all. Let's love the shirt, not show them hurt, because this club will never fall.
Yeah, great poem there, Davey. Well done again. We've got some technical issues. I don't know what's going on, but my microphone's gone a bit dodgy. Anyway, we'll push on. I'm sure you can hear us okay, but if it gets too bad, switch off and try again next week. I don't know what's going on, but we want to get this out. We don't want to delay the podcast for people, so we'll carry on. Right, fantasy football, Carl.
Okay, do a quick fantasy football. Look, there's been a post put on the Facebook page from Dan Jones to say that I've got a massive confession to make this week. And look, I'm just going to... Hopefully there isn't too many people disappointed. But Dan is sort of trying to get one over on me, guys, if you are all listening. And he's trying to give me a hard time because I've got Luis Suarez in my dream team. And he's got, and he's also my captain. So look, Dan, just to let you know, mate, Suarez is not a scum player. If I was a Man United fan, yes, Suarez would be a scum player. He wouldn't be in my team. So, Dan, look, you put it out there, mate. I'm not the person that had a scum player in my dream team. You did. You had Theo Walcott. I think he was even your captain. So, look, I'm just going to call out the fantasy football team. One person this week in the top 10 had a scum player, so his name isn't being read out. So, in first place, James Wallace, Adam Currier, Jonathan Maloney, The Money, The Spurs Poet, myself, Colin McKee, Kirk Kotek, Patrick Morris, John Perez, and Anthony Antel. Steve, you've dropped down to 50th place. You're actually nearly in the bottom. You're nearly in the bottom of the league. So get it sorted, mate. Most points this week is me, Colin McKee, 84 points. So I got the most points. And then just for the bottom of the league is Martin Oak, then it's Lee Townsend, Thomas Wedge, Richard Thompson, Jackie Hunter and Tommy Brown. So look, another really good week of fantasy football, guys. It's all good fun. But just for that guy, and he's actually in second place at the minute. You've got three scum players in your team. James Bird, I'm giving you a shout out. Get them out of your team. It's the last time your name will be mentioned.
Okay, well, like I say, if I get a minute, I'll change my fantasy football team. Dan Jones, here's my take. This is his message on our Facebook page. I've been over the moon with the way the team has played and the great football we have all seen, and that AVB is proving all the haters and the press wrong. We are in a great position still in Europa League. We're on the best run in decades, but it was always going to end somewhere. We played Liverpool, who are on an amazing run at the moment. We made a few crazy mistakes, and the rest is history. Imagine if we had a top striker. Defoe was greedy and needs to learn how to pass. During the Inter game, where Bale, Lennon and Walker ran 70 yards, got in space, and Defoe did not pass, was selfish. But who do we go for? Him or Addy? We have winnable games coming up. Arsenal and Chelsea are definitely going to drop points. And to use Kevin Wakeley's phrase, the future's bright, it's lily white. You know, we've spoken about a lot of that. If it came down to it then, the next game, if it was our best side, would you, if he was going to play one up front, would you go Addy or would you go Defoe?
No, I'd still go Jermaine Defoe.
You'd go Defoe. I'd still go with Addy. You know, if Defoe had come back and knocked one in, possibly, or, you know, to be fair, in the fact that he didn't pass, also he should have had a couple of passes to him as well. Yeah. But then again, I've said that about Addy Goyor. You know, it seems sometimes they don't pass to him as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. All right, mate, you got some shout outs there?
Yes, just one quick shout out. Look, a big apologies to these guys, because I spent most of the Saturday with these guys in the Bill Nick pub, and I forgot to give them a shout-out in last week's show. So there was five boys from the Lisburn Spurs Supporters Club, and it was Wes Stith, who's a great contributor to our show and always on the Facebook page. So I met Wes, there was Michael, there was Stewarty, Ryan and Tom. So look, guys, hopefully you're listening this week, and there's your shout-out on the show, and I apologise again for just not getting your names out there last week.
Brilliant. A few people have sponsored me for the marathon. If you go to Virgin Money Giving and type Robbo the Teacher, or look at the links on our Facebook page or Twitter account, you can donate £5, £10, £20, whatever you want. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to do another show where we are going to phone fans and we can talk about Spurs for 5-10 minutes. We're going to do that in a couple of weeks. So those people, Jason McGovern, I think it's going to be you or your friend we're going to speak to. We've got Edward Santelli, we're going to speak to him. Adam Currier, we're definitely going to speak to him, massive Spurs fan. And anybody else that donates over the next couple of weeks, we'll let you know when that show is. And it will be before the marathon, though, obviously. So thank you very much to those people that have sponsored me. And keep the money coming in. It's absolutely brilliant. Again, apologies for the interference if it's still going on. But we'll push on with a couple more things. Have you got any more shout-outs there, Cole?
No, that was everybody this week.
Yeah, and I've just as you were talking there, I don't want people to think that I hate Defoe and love Addy Goyor. The reason I would play Addy Goyor, just to get it clear, is, you know, I think if we start with Addy Goyor, then you've always got Defoe to come on. But if you start with Defoe, I just don't think Addy Goyor would be interested coming on, rightly or wrongly. That's what I would do, and for that presence up front, and for the fact that I just think that two central defenders, if they're playing against Defoe, they go, here we go. And also, one more thing, is he defends brilliantly at corners, doesn't he, Cole? Yes,
yeah,
he does.
I know what you're saying.
We're having this debate week in, week out. It's like the Huddleston debate all over again.
Yes,
a couple of years ago, it was Huddleston, what, blah, 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 blah. Keep going on about him. And now it's Addy Goyor, you know. Is he good or isn't he good? We just don't
know.
I know some people have made up their minds. I haven't yet. We'll give it to a few more games, but we'll see how we get on. Let's move on quickly then. We've got Inter Milan. Well, how do you think that one's going to go?
I don't really know how it's going to go, but I'm more than confident that we'll get a goal out there. I can't see us not scoring.
Take a rubbish old 0-0 though, wouldn't we?
Sorry?
Take a rubbish old boring 0-0, wouldn't we?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, Gareth Bale suspended for it. I think that's a slight blessing, as in I'm sort of quite glad the guy's getting a week's rest, you know, coming up, because I think the league games, we chatted about it last week, are very, very important.
Can you imagine if we lose 3-0? I think Adrian, or 4-0, I think Adrian Durham's head would explode with delight.
Well, hopefully his head does explode. Don't even want to talk about that.
Shoot. I mean, some of the stuff he's been coming out with, he cannot give Spurs any credit whatsoever. Yeah. We win a game, it's because the other team was rubbish. ABB does something good, it's because he's lucky. The other team, he said about the Liverpool game, Liverpool were brilliant tactically and everything, and no, they weren't. We made a couple of errors. We threw the game away. But anyway, let's move on. Fulham
hasn't got a clue. So
hasn't got a clue. But and for a shock jock, which he loves to be, which is his job, being a shock jock. He's a pretty rubbish one because he's so predictable. What he should do, come out and say, do you know what? I actually like Spurs and ABB. That would be shocking. So go to Adrian Durham. If you want to be a shock jock, which you do, say something unpredictable. Right, Fulham.
It's a massive game. This is where we show everybody that we jump back. I'm more than confident, okay, Martin Yule's coming back. Berbatov's coming back. People are sort of saying like Berbatov's got something to prove. Look, he's been back with Man United a few times. Yes, he'll probably be up for it, but you know, Berbatov usually isn't the best player to have away from home. I just think, like, we're too strong. Fingers crossed, Aaron Lennon will be back on the side, and, you know, we'll go for it. And, like, I can't see anything other than 3 points. And, well, you know, I think, it'll be a great statement just to show.
Yeah, it's dangerous. Don't forget, a few months ago, I think we'd had a couple of bad results, and then we had Wigan at home. You know, and it was the game to get us back on track. And I said to Dan Jones before the game, I said, don't think for a second that this is the game that we come back. And, you know, every team goes for a little blip. I think this could be the blip in our season, actually, at the moment. So I think we might get the result in Inter Milan. But going back to the league, I think we might not win against Fulham. You know, it just fuels the fire for other people to criticise, and, you know, heaps the doubt onto Spurs. But you can't go through a season not having a little blip. And we've just lost one game narrowly with, you know, terrible mistakes, bit of bad luck. You know, there will be other games, whether it's the Fulham game, you know, whether it's the couple of games after that. I'm, we're not going to win every home game from now to the end of the season, and we won't win every away game. So there's going to be other games that we're not going to get the result in the next 9 games. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't get the next result, just because I think we might be a little bit too desperate, you know, to get back on track, if you like. You know, if we're patient, you know, pass it around, you know, and if we have a little bit of luck, and we have a striker that you know, can knock it in, you know, we might be all right. But, look, we're going to have a blip, whether it's... And it's better to be now, by the way, you know, and then finish off the last 6 or 7 games, you know, nice and strongly. So if we don't... What I'm saying is, I think we might have a little blip against Fulham and possibly the next game, but don't worry. Don't get panicky. Because we've still got loads more games to go.
Yeah, look, I know what you're saying. I'm going to disagree with you. I think we are a completely different team now. And I think this, again, we've chatted about it before, is where us as Spurs fans are having to try and get this new mindset. You know, if we were Man United fans, we wouldn't be dreaming of saying, you know, that we're going to hit a blip here against the likes of Fulham at home. I just think now with AVB in charge, you know, tactically... You know, the players are up there, they've learned from it from last year. I think we're far too strong a team now to be running with the likes of Fulham coming.
But
I
would Fulham, be more. Fulham do get results.
They do, Steve.
Chelsea's and Arsenal's and Man United's.
If it was Man City or even maybe the likes of Everton or Chelsea or someone at home, well then I would probably be a wee bit more sort of worried.
God, but, Everton at home.
Here, it's
the way
Fulham
they played last week.
I know, but look, it's Fulham at home. It's 3 points, Steve. 3 points in the bag. I'm confident to go away to Swansea, and we are a different side. And I think we all have to be 100% confident going into Sunday's game.
Yeah. Okay, mate. Yeah. Brilliant.
Look, another great show. Fingers crossed, everybody. The second part there hasn't been too bad with interference. But if it is, you know, we apologise and we'll get back on track next week.
Right. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, Spurs. But let's go and do it. Let's beat Inter Milan, get through to the next round, and let's get Fulham. We're going to hammer them about 5-0. I'll be by our 4 goals.
Brilliant.
Come on, you Spurs.
See you next week.
See you next week, man. Come on, you Spurs.